Workshop rather than a lecture, and then I can talk for 45 minutes if that's what you'd like, but in fact I run workshops that last all day. Only got 45 minutes. So let's see what we can get in. But as it's a workshop, could I ask you folks where you're up to in terms of what your interest is in the Care Quality Commission and where that fits? So I will go around everybody and just a brief introduction if you don't mind. Is that okay with you? So we'll start at the back here.
I've founded a voluntary organisation, and we kind of do personal support work with formerly homeless. They were homeless when we started, they're not homeless anymore. Most of them are street drinkers, but also some of the substance users. And most of them are from a Central and East European background.
Which part of the country is that?
Sheffield.
Okay.
Yeah, my name's David Fletcher.
So. Right.
And the organisation's Kinsman and Redeemer.
Interesting.
So I'm interested because we don't really fit into what church, normal church, mm-hmm. but when I look at kind of substance misuse services, mm-hmm. that they kind of that feels like a different world as well. And I'm intrigued to kind of learn more about what are the kind of national standards that services are expected to work to. We're free floating at the moment, so we're not kind of
I mean, because there are national standards which are really interesting, and then there's the fact of CQC is regulation, so you know it is the law,
right?
So if you fit within that, the law applies. So we'll get into what that means in my seminar, in my workshop. Okay, thanks very much.
Michael Phillips. So I'm an ex-service user.
Right.
Going back 20 years or so.
Yeah.
I've just gone onto the board at a rehabilitation centre quite close to here, Yeovil Manor.
Yes.
As a trustee.
Right.
So I'm hearing a lot about the Care Quality Commission.
Yeah.
So I'd love to come along and find out a bit more.
Okay, that's good. That's good, Michael. Thanks.
Ken Donaldson, I'm from a charity called Talitha Cwm. We're based in Suffolk. We have two outworkings to our operation. We run support groups for women in Ipswich, but we have just opened a residential rehabilitation centre for women, for up to seven women, and we got CQC registration through yesterday.
Well,
so this is kind of raw and good and interesting. So we're weary, but I'm interested in
we've only just started.
So inspection is the next thing.
It is. Okay, thank you, Ken.
I'm Angela Smith. My husband's a trustee of Isaac, and I've just come to take a
I'm Jenny Prosser. My husband's speaking after that, so I too have come to take notes.
Okay. I've met your husband in the past.
I'm Laura Bird. I work at Gilead Foundation's charity down in Devon. We're a drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre, and we are CQC registered, and we're just debating whether we'll remain CQC registered. So.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Fiona Fallon. I work with Teen Challenge UK. We're not CQC registered, but in England or Wales, but all of our services in Scotland are. Have to be, so they're under the care inspectorate, it's called now, and by law they have to be. So we have three of our services that are under the care inspectorate. We're not at the moment, and I don't know whether I heard that we might need to be.
Are you sort of puzzling out whether you need?
Yeah. I am, that's why I'm here. I think I think we do. We had supported people for many, many years, it brought us up to an incredible professional level, and we've maintained that anyway. So we've continued the last 10 years without supporting people, maintaining that level of
care. Teen Challenge, is this because the people are teenagers?
No, we don't work with teenagers.
All right.
Sorry. It's a global organisation, and it's nearly 60 years old, and it's very difficult to change the name now because of David Wilkinson. Many of you know the Cross and Switchblade. He set it up over 60 years ago for teenagers in New York, but it's such a, we're in 120 nations, and it's a bit difficult to train at this stage, but we work with 18 to 35, we used to do 18 to 35, we do 18 plus now.
Right, okay, well when we go through the presentation we'll see what registration means.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so whether you come in or not.
Okay. I'm John Patience, I'm the Chief Executive of the NMI project.
Right.
So we are not CQC registered, but in fact we're not required to be, we don't fall in the category. We did speak to them a couple of years ago and they weren't desperately interested. They grudgingly said they'd accept us if we wanted to apply. And I would say 80% of what we have would meet CQC requirements, but from talking to people that I know, everyone says to me, don't do it, it would be madness. So if you don't have to, don't. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in the sort of quality insights. Mm-hmm. Also particularly interested in the title that you gave this about kingdom sort of principles coming in there, because we are purely evidence-based as a charity. We have very strong evidence-based what we do, but we operate in a Christian environment. Mm.
Interesting idea. Right.
Hi, I'm Jo Collier. I'm a registered manager for residential recovery service in Buxton.
In where, sorry?
In Buxton.
Buxton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good news from the care.
Right.
Yeah. It's only little we've got 4 days. So, we're registered with CQC, back on 2 inspections.
Well done. And you survived.
Just about. We had
are
one,
you okay?
We had one just last month, which was a bit of a surprise.
Oh, right.
Are
you registered for the substance misuse?
Yeah, but that's a bit of a contentious thing. Whenever we've been inspected, they are curious about who we are and what we're about, and we don't fit in any way.
No.
So
it's always been the case.
When they came in September, they were saying that we don't fit in the substance misuse one, but they didn't know where we should be. So they were going to take it back to the managers and talk about it, and we're waiting to find out really. Because it's quite intensive. Because we don't provide treatment as such.
This is what the treatment is. Yeah, it's what the treatment is. Because I've recently been involved in a service in London, and this might interest you, John, because they were what you might think of third stage, so support accommodation with support. But they had a very nasty letter from CQC saying, we believe that you're providing a regulated activity, and we'll prosecute you.
Curious.
Yeah. But I got that, I think, because probably somebody had a negative experience of being there. And in every service, someone will have a negative experience, because it won't be the right one for them. You know? And the trouble is, obviously, you can sort of displace those feelings and blame the service and that sort of thing. So it didn't raise the question. And I think CQC becoming a bit more kind of aggressive in the way that they chase these now. So you do need to be really, really sure where you stand. Sure.
They're saying that we might be more appropriate in the adult social care part.
When I explain what CQC, how it's structured, you'll see where that fits. So if we get on with a bit of detail. Okay, why is it relevant? So for treatment services, it is the law enforcement body, and I'll explain what treatment means in a minute. A question for me, you know, and for, I guess for you guys, if you believe you're offering a Christian service, is it the representation of Christian principles, or does it stand against them? Do you want to come right here so we can see a bit better?
Will we have a copy of this?
I don't know. I've sent it into.
I don't.
So they've got it. Yeah. But if you want to contact me directly, you can take one of my flyers and. Yeah, I'll send it to you. No problem. If you email me, I'll send it to you. Otherwise,
I'm sure we can. Yes.
Yeah. So, how does it work in practice? How's it work in practice? So, a brief history. Where does it all come from? And this kind of gives a bit of background to where the substance misuse hit. 1984 was the Registered Homes Act, and that gave responsibility to local authority and Family Care Trust responsibility for actually inspecting care homes, right? That's where that came from, care homes and nursing homes. Now, at that time, believe it or not, I was in inspection that long ago. Some residential services were included, a place like Broadway Lodge and Clouds House that you might have heard of. They came within regulation because they were providing care for people, but even then it was an issue. Okay, what kind of care are you providing? Because it was largely what we now call psychosocial treatment. It was group work and it was one-to-one counselling work. But because it's residential as well, people went there for a set period of time, it kind of looked a bit like a care home because, you know, it wasn't a college, it wasn't a hotel, you know, it was an institution where people were cared for in a very structured way. But even then, I was having, you know, I was on the side of the regulator, and I was having debates with people like, really, do you fit? You know, really, what is it you're providing? Oh, no, we want to be registered. Local authorities want, you know, only pay if we're registered. So that happened then. Then there was
I'll ask you a quick question. Sorry, does it make a difference if you're HMO registered?
I think there is a sort of legality there about whether you can be both.
Yeah.
That's houses in multiple occupancy, a big difference what HMO means. When we come on to what it means now, let's hold that 1 minute and come on to what it looks like now. So I'm just sort of recapping a little bit. In the Rested Homes Act, there were no standards which applied to residential services particularly. So when I was down in North Somerset, we had a dozen of these places, right? And it became the rehab capital of England, I think, for a while. So we thought, well, as a local authority, we must regulate them according to what they do, not according to what we think they might do. So we devised the standards there. And these were carried forward to the Care Standards Act, which set up a national body, right? So not just local authorities inspecting their own services or the services in their area, national body, National Care Standards Commission with national minimum standards. At that time, included domiciliary care, which is care in a home, but not community drug services. It included residential services, but not community drug services. When 2004 came about, the Commission for Social Care Inspection joined together the Social Services Inspectorate and the Adult Social Care, which was National Care Standards Commission. But the Healthcare Commission was separate then, so you had this division between adult social care and healthcare. That's an important one to bear in mind. And again, during that time, I became the policy lead for the Commission on Social Care Inspection for the country. So I tended to find out which of the particularly residential services were not behaving very well. It came to my attention. Unfortunately, none of you were involved. So, more up to date, the Health and Social Care Act, which Josh referred to in glowing terms, this set up the Care Quality Commission, which was a combination of, the adult social care was CSCI. The Healthcare Commission used to look at hospitals and independent health care, and the Mental Health Act Commission. So, what happened when that organisation came together? Well, in many ways, it was what I would call a kind of reverse takeover, because there were 149 health trusts in the country. There were 25,000 adult social care services in the country. So who do you think took the top jobs in CQC? It was the healthcare people, right? And what happened from there on is when standards are devised, we are very much talking about healthcare standards as opposed to adult social care standards. And this particularly applies to you guys in substance misuse treatment services, because you're seen as treatment. Right, that's the big word, treatment, not care, treatment. So I wonder what treatment means. Let's have a little look at that in a minute. But there were other things happening at the time which are important for regulation, are important for how you operate as well. So there was a Mid-Staffordshire Hospital crisis in the trust, which led to, I think there were lots of deaths of patients which were unexplained. and particularly families were not finding out why, what had happened to their family members. Out of that came something called the duty of candour, where authority, like NHS Trust, and now it's every provider, has to have a policy that says we will be open and honest about mistakes that are made, and we will provide an apology, we'll provide, you know, reasons for what's happened. It's actually a duty for people to do that now. That's been quite a big influence on CQC. There was the Winterbourne View, which was an independent hospital for people with mental health issues. What was interesting, I thought about the publicity of that, was they often refer to it as a care home. So if it's negative, it's a care home, right? It couldn't be a hospital, because it's not good, you know. But actually, it was an independent hospital, and there was appalling treatment of the residents going on there, if you saw the panorama programme. And what was, I think what they came down to analyse, was the fact that, the directors had no responsibility for what's happening on the ground. Now, who employs people, you know, who sets the tone for the organisation? It's the directors, it's the trustees, it's people right at the top, managers. So out of that came a fit and proper person test for directors of organisations, and that's quite important when you run an organisation, that you know that that level of scrutiny applies to them as well. The Care Act, this is what Joss was referring to as well. It focused on assessment by local authorities, the fact that the funding was transferred to local authorities, and also ratings. Joss referred to people having an excellent service. The ratings are outstanding, good, requires improvement, and inadequate. Now, ratings were not applied to Summers Misuse Services initially because they hadn't gone through all the steps with the Department of Health, apparently. Now they have, and that's coming out in January. That will be really interesting because at the moment I'm not sure that CQC know how to regulate Summers Misuse Services in the ordinary run of things. What will they be like when they start to say, okay, you're an outstanding service or you require improvement? Do they know what the stepping stones are? Do they know what the criteria are? They say they're going to have a consultation in January. I hope they do. I'm part of an expert group in CQC that's meant to look at these things, but we rarely get consulted now, rarely. Mm. And I'm really disappointed about that. Mm. I mean, that group includes some of the big providers as well, like Turning Point and Phoenix and those sort of places. So they know a lot about that. What does CQC look like? This is important to also grasp. The chief executive is David Bean, who I have a lot of respect for. David used to be CSCI chief executive, or chief inspector before. He went off to the Department of Health, and now he's come back to do this. I met David about 20 years ago or so when we were both in Avon Social Services, and we had a chat then. I met him about when he became the chief executive of CSCI. I said, "Oh yeah, David, I remember you from back in our Avon days." I met him again, and he said, "Yeah, I still remember you, David." People like that are impressive, right? People who can really grasp who's who in an organisation. He's from a social care background. He was a director of social services for quite a while, but he was also the chair of the DAT, the Drug and Alcohol Action Team. So he gets what these services are about. The problem is we've got so many other political issues going on. Now, CQC does get in the news now and again, and I've got a real confession to make, is that the other day I read the front page of the Daily Mail. I'm sorry. It was there, you know. I was staying with a relative and she happened to have it. But the front page was about the CQC. They brought out the State of Social Care report. So all the headlines there. Guess what they were about? Right? They were about bed occupancy in the NHS. Quality of care in the NHS. You have to go down the headlines quite a bit until you come to something which says adult social care even. I mean, Substance Misuse Services, one that was not mentioned at all. I've got with me the State of Social Care report they've just brought out. That's the front page of the summary. And the sort of issues that they're talking about are, pressures on hospitals, A&E departments, the Q acute hospitals, bed occupancy remaining at 85%. And adult mental health is a big issue. Bed occupancy for acute mental health wards. About the seventh paragraph down, delivering adult social care has become more challenging. I think that's an even bigger challenge for this country, actually, than the NHS, because there are care homes closing, nursing homes closing, and yet the population is ageing. You know, the needs are increasing vastly. And some of the problems with bed occupancy in the NHS is actually not being able to move people on to care homes afterwards, because locality resources are so stretched. If you want to know about substance misuse services, you have to turn to page 87. I found it. It says, and it's just one very small paragraph, right? And that's the main body of the report. That's not the summary. You won't find it in the summary. We inspect but currently do not rate independent sectors that provide structured drug and alcohol treatment where people have to be resident at the service in order to receive treatment. This includes medicine-assisted recovery programs, such as detox or stabilisation services. In 2016, in response to early inspections under our new comprehensive inspection approach, we wrote to all registered residential treatment providers to make them aware of our concerns about the quality of care. They also did convene one seminar, but I think the places were limited. Did you ever go to that?
Yeah, Beth went, actually.
Oh, Beth went. Yeah, it was quite hard to get a place. I had to go through that back door. I knew somebody. So they say they've now completed those inspections. We're in the process of reviewing these to bring the picture up to date before the end of 2017. I'm going to tell you some of the things they have done to review those services, because I ran a training course recently. CQC came along to it, bless them. The person from the North East, who Josh may know, came along and actually told us some of their findings. So I've got some of those in my presentation, so I can tell you about that. So there are three directorates, right? Adult social care, primary care, and hospitals. Do you know where substance misuse services fit?
Adult.
Yeah, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you? No, it's hospital does. They're in the hospital directorate, which explains a lot when it comes to inspection. It explains a lot of the medical emphasis on of the inspectors who come. There are now two methodologies within CQC, one for adult social care and one for all other health services. You're in the one for all other health services. This is what the inspection framework did look like. Right, there was one specifically for specialist substance misuse services. That's the inspection framework with the key lines of inquiry, and that's the five questions that are in there. So this is going to become obsolete at the end of the year, and they're going to just use one for hospitals to look at residential substance misuse services.
Sounds like they're going backwards. Yeah.
I'm really disappointed about this, and I've written to the Deputy Chief Inspector to say how you say, Laura, this is going backwards, this is not understanding what the service is about at all. I really await their reply. It was a month ago I wrote to them. I've been continually corresponding, because I feel, although I'm just an independent consultant now, I've had a lot to do with this over the years, and I feel that, and they do listen to me, and I remember going to this seminar and they said, oh, David really commented on this, and we've changed that as a result. That was about workforce qualifications. So they're listening, but they're not listening very hard. There was an organisation called FBAP, Federation of Drug and Alcohol Professionals, which has now been merged into a GP-type primary care organisation. I was on the board of FBAP, and myself and the chief executive ran a training course for inspectors. The problem is, all the information's got diluted right through the organisation. So an inspector who comes along to see you probably has a mental health background, might have some knowledge about substance misuse, but probably from an NHS perspective. They'll bring along a specialist advisor who probably will be a doctor or a nurse, And they'll be looking at your medication procedures, you know. Not too much about the rest of the service that you provide. And it's really disappointing. So if they have a consultation about the ratings, I'd be very, very interested to know if they understand what an outstanding substance misuse service looks like. And anyway, you're not a uniform group in the way that you do things. You know, there's very different ways of operating. Yeah. Philosophy, methods, all sorts of things are different. So what is going to happen? I mean, I think we just need to be aware there ought to be this consultation in January. That's what they say publicly. Will it happen? You know, and I guess a particular beef of mine at the moment is that there's no effective lobby group, because FDAP got merged into this GP organisation. Do you remember the European Association of Treatment Agencies, EARTA? That was a lobbying group for you. There's now something called Collective Voice, which represents some of the bigger organisations like Phoenix and Turning Point. There's Choices, which is a group of residential rehabs that really are just there to help each other. So if someone's services are failing in one place, rather than just be discharged, then try another treatment centre. Maybe that'll suit you better. So they sort of recirculate people amongst them, which I think is quite helpful. But again, they're not lobby groups. So no one's really banging on the door of CQC to say, get it right for substance misuse.
I mean, am I thinking there is a Commons Select Committee that's looking at this, transforming rehabilitation, I think it is.
Really?
That's prisons.
That's prisons, is it?
Yeah.
That's the failure of prison patient services. That's quite different.
Yeah.
But yes, they are. Yeah. That's what Michael Spur was on Radio 4 yesterday. Bless him. He's a Christian.
Yeah.
Attempts to do a very good job.
Yeah. Yeah, there used to be a Common Select Committee that Lord Adeboli ran about treatment services. And Lord Mancroft as well has been quite involved. So there's a couple of other members of the House of Lords are involved. There's some MPs that are quite interested, like David Burrows, who is a Christian, who's very interested in these things. It's a very small number. And, when there are other political priorities, I mean, you know, think of Brexit and things like that going on at the moment, how many more things are occupying the minds of senior politicians, not this.
Mm-hmm.
So rather suffer there. So, wait a minute. So CQC does registration, so when you've had a registration person visit you, the people who come from the inspection are from a different team. You do need to know that. You won't get the most friendly person from registration. And I was in on a recent registration of another site in London.
We've been more of the banner. The registration is the nice bit, the inspection is the
It's a different order of things altogether. It really is. Totally different order of things. And then there's the enforcement team, which I hope you don't come into contact with, but, you know, they are there because people can be breaking the law by doing things which are 5 minutes. Okay.
Mainly to overrun a bit.
Oh, sorry.
Are we going to go into lunch after this?
Yeah.
No, I'm quite happy
something
to stay
else.
Here.
Yeah. Something else. Something else. Something is called speed.
Okay, let's keep moving through this thing. So next slide then. Where the substance misuse services fit, residential rehab services, including detox, have this, it's called a regulated activity, right? And it's the words in bracket, in accommodation for persons requiring treatment for substance misuse. Now, I helped devise that with the Department of Health, that particular phrasing, because at the time what was developing, they were like quasi-residential services, they called themselves. These were people who lived in houses, a bit like HMOs, and came to a treatment centre during the day. Because, in a way, the service looked like a residential service, it looked like, because the bedrooms were somewhere else, right on one site. But they were not, they were only living in the contract for living in the accommodation, meant they had to be receiving treatment service as well. So, that was meant to encapsulate that. We didn't get down to, at that time, defining treatment, but we did later on, and it's more like a sort of full-time structured program of psychosocial intervention. That's really what treatment means in a residential service, alongside, obviously, detox, medical treatment. if you're a community drug service, which, if you were, you'd regulate activity, you'd be treated for disease, disorder or injury. And that has to be provided by a medical professional or a social worker. Laura. Yes. Notice that one.
A qualified
social worker, yeah. But what about support and accommodation, aftercare or counselling services? You see, CQC are struggling with this one because they really don't know what structured treatment looks like. You know, and it's different in all different places. Mm-hmm. But if they find that, I mean, it seems to me that if you've got a programme that involves one-to-one counselling, group work, sort of special interest groups, and it's at least half a day, for every day, really, regular. And if you're living in accommodation and you're receiving that, then you come within the first definition. Now, at the moment...
Even if you're not providing any medical detox treatment.
Or the psychosocial treatment, you see. See, treatment is not just medical treatment.
Yeah, we're pretty well aware of that. But that was the discussion we had with CQC 2 years ago, and they said, no, go away, we're not really that interested.
That's because I'm afraid the person you spoke to didn't understand it.
We don't employ any medical staff. So we don't have any doctors, we don't have any social workers.
Yeah.
We employ staff at NQ3.
Level 3. Yeah. But what are they doing?
What they're doing is we provide a counsellor that runs counselling group work.
And we
have all of the best evidence-based research around how you recover your life.
I think
you're very similar to us, actually. We don't do detox, but we fall under that initial residential rehab service, which is a regulated activity.
It is.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
It's shocking, actually, but very interesting.
Well, you see, you need to, in a way, research this one a bit.
We'll talk
with you separately about it for your service, Because if you're falling within it and the CQC catch up with you, you could have one of these nasty letters about prosecution. Because it's like the speed limit. It's a speed limit whether you're driving a lorry or a car, The law applies if you're providing that service.
We found the CQC website was actually quite helpful in terms of defining the parameters within which we fell.
It's interesting, we register as an HMO, but we took barrister's advice about 6 months ago on this.
Yeah.
And in fact, her view was that in fact we weren't an HMO because we provide an educational element.
Right.
And to be an HMO, you have to, providing education takes you out of the HMO. So in her view, We fitted in neither, actually. We sat between the housing and the plans.
And this is the constant
legislation.
Okay, let's keep moving. So what standards does CQC apply? Well, they call the fundamental standards. I've got a copy of them here. They're within this document, right? If you're interested in CQC registration, it tells you those guidance for providers on the regulations. The fundamental standards are in there. They're very understandable things, like providing person-centred care, dignity and respect, need for consent, safeguarding. They're things which are very understandable. But those are the core regulations. And then there are things called the key lines of inquiry, which are the five questions, the safe, effective, caring, responsive and well-led. And this is where inspection comes in, and I'll go by those. So what do they mean by safe? We go to the next one. This is...
just say, some of the other groups are going downstairs, but if you're in the middle, if everybody wants to carry on, that's fine, it's the networking session.
So these are the sort of things that CQC mean by safe. Right? The physical environment has got to be safe. There's got to be enough staff to provide safe care. If you have medicines, that they're prescribed safely, they're administered safely. You have high quality initial ongoing risk assessments, which assesses how safe the service is and how safe individuals will be there. There's good safeguarding practice, and there's reporting and learning from incidents and adverse events. And I think those are very essential principles. Mm-hmm. I don't see that they're not incontrovertible. I was just kind of reflecting on some of these things from a Christian perspective. I wonder what we mean by safe. I was looking at things like cities of refuge, you know, set up by the priests in the Old Testament, places where people could go who, I mean, in that case, it's people maybe who could be convicted of murder, but you can see these days people who are convicted of drug and alcohol offences, they need somewhere safe to go sometimes. They need to get out of things for a while. And as a Christian organisation, I'm sure quite a few really think that's what you're providing, somewhere separate. If we take refuge in God, we will be kept safe. You know, the Psalms are full of that. In the day of trouble, we will be kept safe. The needy will lie down in safety. And that's Isaiah 40, verse 30, apparently. I read this when I had a cold. So my wife, when I said to her, do you know what, I've got some of those verses wrong. Well, you had a cold and you were doing it. Don't worry about it. So if some of the references look slightly wrong, there might be a few verses down from what I've said. But that's the essential principles. So let's keep moving quite quickly. Remember, this is what CQC mean by effective. I mean, effective, does it work? Really? That's the question. Does it work? So, do you assess physical health? Do you adhere to national guidelines? These are the orange book that Joss was referring to. The staff have the right range of specialist skills. Now, let's see, this is where CQC don't always get the background of some of your counsellors and recovery workers, but you don't need to go through, well, there are NVQ3s in health and social care on your, it's called diplomas. Which are interesting, but there's much more relevant stuff I think recovery workers and support workers can be doing, and those need to be recognised. Now, the Mental Capacity Act, that's become a bit controversial. Does anybody very, very familiar with the Mental Capacity Act? No? Well, it's about consent. It's about giving consent to treatment. It's about people having the capacity to give that consent. And presuming that people do have capacity, it becomes relevant in some detox services where people turn up intoxicated. And you think, are they really in a position to agree to 3 months treatment here? Or do we really just need to get them through till tomorrow? And then we start talking about what they're exactly here for. So it's getting the right time to talk to people about what they're letting themselves in for and they're agreeing to. But often services, when they're inspected, trip up about, you know, do you know the five principles of the Mental Capacity Act? Okay.
It's top of my head, no.
No, I know, and not many of us do off the top of our head, but it's the sort of question CQC come and ask. If you haven't got it, you're marked out. Know? There are various things like this that CQC ask, which, when you come for inspection, you need to get raised up about, and those will trip up. Christian perspective, here's one or two thoughts I have. Being person-centred, you know, the individual matters to God. I love the verse where it says we're held in the palm of his hand. How, you know, individual is that, and how caring is that when you come into that, and even the hairs of your head are numbered. Does it work? Are we delivering to the highest standards? Do we build with care? Do we work with all our heart as unto the Lord? You know, those are principles I trust we employ, you know, in our approach to work. Caring. I mean, going on from what Joss was saying, I was really struck by that, and how he was referring to the quality of interactions between staff and clients, the compassion, the respect, the dignity. These are quotes from CQC's own presentation, highlighting these. Decisions about care and treatment involve the person. So it's not doing to, it's doing with. And staff can provide information that's accessible to people. How much of the blurb do sometimes organisations turn out, which is written in jargon? You know, really understandable to people who use the service. That's being caring if you're providing it in a way which is understandable. From a Christian perspective, loving your neighbour as yourself, God is full of compassion. God redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. And as Josh was saying, it all really comes back to Jesus, doesn't it? His compassion is just totally exemplary, and he's come to bring life in all its fullness. Responsiveness. Good pathways for access, is discharge planning working, is there joint working, what about the comfort of the environment, facilities do meet the needs of people with disabilities, and sometimes, you know, increasingly people are coming forward with physical disabilities now, as well as very extensive alcohol misuse particularly, and being listened to concerns and complaints. Christian perspective, meeting people at their point of need, responding to the marginalised, how often was that apparent in Jesus' ministry? And then being well led, visions, values and a sense of purpose, and quality of governance. Now, this, for the next phase of C2C instructions, they're going to focus quite highly on well led. They're going to start looking like hospital inspections. They're going to have like provider meetings. Now, it depends which part of the country you're on in when they understand provider meetings. In the West Country, particularly West and Mayor, they're going to be every month. In London, they're going to be every 3 months. In the North East, they haven't heard of them.
I've been at that moment.
You're having a 3 month, so that's so Buxton,
Derbyshire.
Yeah. It varies across the country, but you are going to have them. Do you find them useful?
I think. They're coming across with it like they're kind of trying to be our friend.
Yeah.
which, you know, I think they want to kind of give us the impression that they're on our side, which in one sense I'm sure they are, but there's another agenda, very clearly.
They're checking up on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they when they came in July or August, so they were going to comment around the end of September, beginning of October. We're not going to tell you when. And they came like the middle of September, early September.
Quite. See, my question about those meetings is, are they inspections or not?
He said not. He said that he was just coming, and if they saw something that wasn't quite right, they'd mention it. But not like. I'm sure if they came as an inspection, then they'd look very clearly at those things that they pulled you up on.
Yeah, and they produce an inspection report, which will go in a public domain, but they don't produce the report in the physics, they're informal. You see, this is the way hospitals used to be inspected, not adult social care, but legally they can't come unless they've got a reason to come. They can't produce a report unless they've done an inspection. If they haven't done an inspection, what have they done? You know, if they went back to a carer, they'd find they don't have any real authority to do that. But this is a new way of doing things according to hospital methodology.
I think they came on Thursday to a service plan, but it was an engagement meeting. And their agenda was looking at all the different points that they'd asked us to improve.
Yeah.
And so they went through each one.
Yeah.
And so it was like a paperwork inspection, if not a looking around and interviewing the client's inspection.
So are they going to produce a report about that?
They said they took minutes and they're going to give us minutes of the meeting.
Yeah.
But I took minutes too. So I'm writing this down as well.
The report in the public domain has got all these deficits, I presume.
And it, for us, it came in our report, it came up with all the negatives first.
Yes.
And it says, this is bad, this is bad, this isn't working so well. But, however, they did this well. And it was quite...
For us as well, because the thing is, if that was publicised, then that's what everybody else reads first too.
That's the first bad tissue.
Oh well, they're not very good, are they? Turn over the page. You know, they don't even get to the bottom to see if we did do this well.
To some extent, it's a blessing in disguise that ratings have not been introduced yet, because I get most services will be at least requires improvement, if not inadequate, judging by the number of negatives that they've picked out.
But there was, in ours, for example, there was a sentence in it that said we provide an excellent level of care or something like that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, there's a few things that come over more
obviously, that are areas that, that we need to kind of pick up, which we need to know about, we need to improve, don't we?
Yeah.
And that's good. But it's how it's focused and how it's put across, I think.
There's a bit of code going on here, because CQC, if they start with negatives, that means you're definitely requiring improvement. If they start with positives, then you're good. Without, because they've got their own indicative ratings, in the background, which is not publicising.
In a sense, isn't it always going to be that contention anyway, because we're providing, all the services here, we try to provide the best that we can, but we provide a spiritual element, which we know is the key to our success in a lot of ways, and they're never going to get that anyway, are they? In a sense, if they're not looking at the outcomes and they're just looking at continuous paperwork, they're not going to get the...
See, there is the Equalities Act, right, which refers to you must not discriminate against people on the basis of their religion, is one thing, and amongst others. So how much are you actually meeting, like, the religious needs of the people within you? Really, that should be asking that question of a lot of other services, but they don't. But it's there on the Equalities Act, it's there on their own methodology as well. You're right, we believe that's almost the key, isn't it, to their recovery. And that's the end point. You'd like them to reach faith, really.
Yeah, faith, freedom.
Could I just say, this is really sobering experience, but after the kind of strange euphoria of Josh's presentation, the system as it is going to collapse.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for the church. Hooray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of this. So, I mean, surely churches offer psychosocial
not full time, though, really.
So has it got to be full time?
Well, that phrase isn't actually mentioned, but, I mean... I think they're looking at substantial periods of the day, really, to be on a treatment programme.
So it's just, what was that? You had the residential, the two different...
Accommodation.
Categories, there was the one, but providing community drug...
That's treatment for disease, disorder and injury.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite specific treatment, either medical treatment. Medical treatment, really.
Okay. So you don't accidentally fall into that?
No, it's very difficult to accidentally
fall into that. Because you're talking about counselling appointments or things like that.
Yeah, counselling doesn't fall within regulation. You know, BACP had a lot of discussion with government about that because they couldn't actually agree what counselling was.
Yeah.
You know, how many different branches of counselling there are, everybody was psychoanalysis, person-centred.
Yeah.
It's not within regulation, counselling.
No.
Psychiatry is.
Sure.
I feel I've rather overrun time rather a lot. And the other issues in the presentation, which I can send you, which Isaac can send to you, talk about the issues of concern to CQC, which again I've taken from their own presentation. You can see the sort of things. I'll happily send you this presentation because I think you need to be really sure about your practice before it's.
And I'm a registered manager.
even more than you. So I can that explains some of the issues which have been a concern because they did have this seminar where they told us about that. Those sort of things. I've also got one of my resources, the Key Lines of Inquiry, right, which are 40 pages long. Produced it before, and that's a resource I use when I do my consultancy work to really help each service analyse in quite some detail where they're up to. So there's lots of criteria that apply. There are 5 questions, but within that there are many sub questions. Anyway, that's been a flavour of
where the Care Quality Commission are up to, possibly how it applies to you. You might have more questions that you've thought about. I hope you do, really. I hope you do. Because I want you to be within the law, if you forward any law. Please, I do want you to do that. But if you don't, be very clear about why not. Because CPC are after those kind of services. Where they, probably where they receive consent. They'll not walk in the streets looking for you, but, you know, if something calls their attention, they'll follow it up, and they'll follow up robustly.
Really, with regard to, so what was mentioned earlier about the sort of local authority funding ceasing, or the ring fence funding sort of ceasing, 2019, so the likelihood of commissioned services, so they won't have to worry too much because they won't have anyone doing it, because certainly half, most of these services run as pure businesses.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that they're charities, they're not. They're run as a business under the guise of a charity, but they're not very charitable. So they will not be delivering services for local authorities if they're not paying them for without a doubt.
Yeah.
So it would seem that with the social care crisis, CQC needs to be adjusting their remit of inspection. And the fact that nursing homes are disappearing like wildfire as well. They do need to be doing something, because otherwise they're going to be a complete irrelevance, really.
But well, they would just see themselves kind of comment on that, but they don't regulate that, if you see what I mean. They only regulate according to the standards which are laid down in law.
They're allowed to operate within the law.
But you see, the residential services in this country are becoming increasingly privatised. Funding is private, really.
Mm.
You know, there's new services being set up all the time which are offering the private market quite a range of services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the UK addiction treatment services run by somebody I know, growing like wildfire, charging £5,000 for a detox, £10,000 for a residential study.
But regulating, I think you say.
If you are like that on the board, is there any, you know, advantage of being CQC registered?
Definite advantage.
If you don't need to be, what would the advantage be?
You see, theoretically, you can't just choose to be CQC registered. You either come within the law or you don't.
Yes.
That's what CQC would say. But there are ways of interpreting whether you come within the law or not.
Right.
Yeah, which I could get. The advantages are a lot of local authorities only commission services which are CQC registered.
Mm.
As we've heard, that money pot is diminishing.
Yeah.
Do you have people who are funded by local authority?
No. We don't get any funding at all. And have been going 40 years.
For the individuals, I mean.
Yes.
So who pays for them?
We have housing benefits, very low level. Very low level, yes.
So that's
not a huge level.
Stream in a sense of national government stream.
And the rest is raised, we have to raise the rest of the funds. For six residential centres, that's quite a lot.
I'm interested why you fall in it in Scotland but not in England, I think.
My chief ec might be very happy with me coming out of here today saying we need to be, but as far as we've always been concerned, we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to promote my consultancy services. I'm trying to retire, really. And I'm not looking for work, but if you'd like me to come and talk to you about it, I will. Go into it in more detail than we've been able to in 45 minutes today.
It's important because I think as a Christian, as a sort of service that has underpinning principles of faith, I think it's important that we are excellent and that we do sort of maintain all of the law of the land. So we don't seek to get around the law, we seek to just adhere to it and deliver what we think is excellent rehabilitation or recovery services alongside a gentle faith environment where we do good to those that we serve.
Yeah.
So to me, we should be providing the best quality of services, really, better than the sort of some of these other companies that are just in it for the money.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, thanks very much for joining in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.